Hello, all you positive heads out there. It's so good to be back with all you beautiful reflections of the one source consciousness that creates and animates all things. If you're new to this podcast, of course, we are super happy to have you here, and we just ask that you bring an open mind and heart to your listening experience and to be prepared to explore vantage points that I'm convinced will help shift or solidify your current understanding of the ultimate nature of reality in a way that is extremely empowering. Speaking of exploring powerful perspectives, I'm super excited to announce the release of my very first book, The Golden Key: Modern Alchemy to Unlock Infinite Abundance. If you're ready to alchemize the circumstances in your life so that your abundance expands to an entirely new level in 2021, head over to goldenkey.gift to download the audio or ebook as my gift to you by using the code POSITIVEHEAD. All right, all you positive heads, welcome, welcome. Here we grow again. It is a magical Monday here in the studio as I record, and I am grateful, as always, to be back with you, each and every one of you, as we float through eternity trying to figure out this existence, this wild, wild existence. Has it been intense for you guys lately? Man, my October's been pretty intense so far, and I imagine, you know, I've had a lot of people tell me same thing in their world. I'm just, doing the best I can with what I got from where I'm at. I imagine you're doing the same. I saw a really, really powerful statement the other day. I mean, it's something that I've actually said a bunch of times on the show, but I like the way this was kind of concisely phrased. If I react, I repeat. And that's the one that really, really helps to... getting that, I've talked about before, that how important it is for me not to react to situations and scenarios and overwhelm and all those things. It's such a motivator to know if I don't want to repeat this, I best not react. And, I still have my reactive moments. However, they're so pared down from what they've once been. And, we kind of saw some of that. And last week I read a little bit from the book Destiny of Souls by Michael Newton, which is basically a case study of life between lives, where he takes people through hypnosis, takes them into past lives. Then after they cross, what happens on the other side? And the one that I did, I think it was episode 1563, if you want to check it out. I've read from this book sporadically, and I think I'm going to read a little more today. It talked about suicides and someone then seeing like, oh, they're reacting to their life in a way. They then choose the, easy way out. I don't know if that's, you call it easy, but, sort of throwing in the towel, and then they get to the other side. And the first thing is like, oh no, why'd I do that? It's like, and then they get to see the other options they could have made. And so that's really the game, is like, that's a very dramatic, suicide, version of like tapping out. But, whenever we react, in a sense, we're tapping out to, the ability, the choice to stay calm in a particular situation and to not allow it to trigger us into a state of fight or flight or fear or anger or agitation, disharmony. And so if you can really realize like, it's like that extreme example of the suicides, like, oh no, I need to go through this all over again. And I just kind of screwed myself by tapping out. And same with a reaction. If you see patterns in your life that continue to reoccur, they're reoccurring because you still haven't gotten the lesson. So what if a big key is not reacting, not allowing yourself to get triggered into a state of righteousness, right? It's so easy to react when we feel righteous in our truth. And it's like, do you want to be happy or do you want to be right? and not arguing and not... not just, if you get into that state of agitation and your reactivity in a not healthy way, you instantly have lost. And for me, that motivation of not repeating the same lessons, if I react, I repeat, got it. I want to move forward. If that's the motivation it takes for me to get the lesson, so be it. And so, yeah, I just wanted to throw that reminder out there, because it's one, at least in my world, as far as my own personal growth, that is just time and time again. You know, we all have our different strengths and weaknesses and things. And for me, reactivity, allowing it to lead me into a state of flustered agitation, is like a thing. And you know, even righteousness at how foolish someone's perspective is or how unjust or unfair. And if I'm reacting, I'm losing, and reminding myself of that and reminding you, like, take stock of your own life and where are these repeating patterns that keep coming back. And then ask yourself, honestly, am I being reactive and out of alignment and calm, out of alignment with my inner, you know, Zen master? Then that's probably why you're repeating. So guess what? You're going to keep repeating until you get it right. So let's remove reactivity out of our wheelhouse, shall we? And move into proactivity. I'm showing up in this. I'm going to walk into the storm being calm, cool, collected, at peace, bringing love and compassion and empathy and understanding, especially to someone who's maybe has a very different perspective than we agree with. And just, you know, realizing, like, everyone's acting rational based off their view of the world. So with that being said, let's read a little bit again. I'm going to pick up right where I was last time. And this is Destiny of Souls by Michael Newton. And we talked last time we were exploring, you know, what timelines and suicides and sort of how people would get to the other side and then go to the life books and review all their other possible paths they could have chosen. And I can't quite remember, but I marked this as like, oh, I'll come back to this because I think it's kind of a continuation of that episode. Well, certainly it is. And as far as the timeline of the book, it's the very, I'm just picking up right where I left off. And if you want to hear that one, I mean, you can actually go to Positive Head, and if you search Destiny of Souls, you'll all the times that I've read from the book over the last year or so will pop up, and you can you know, of course, get the book yourself, or there's also another one called Journey of Souls, which I think, I can't remember which one came first, but kind of the same, you know, continuation of the work. So yeah, with that being said, I'm going to pick up where I left off from episode 1563 last week. Here we grow. And this is right before he goes into a next case. And when he does go into a case, I'll kind of alter my inflection to show when the doctor's asking a question of the subject who's in hypnosis, kind of, relaying information. This is a little precursor, couple paragraphs before it goes into the next case. As the dialogue progresses in my next case, it will be obvious that an unseen entity is recreating a past life scene, but with alterations. These adjustments are intended to elicit empathy and teach the soul in case 30. This case is an example of what some of my clients mean when they talk about entering worlds of altered time and causality through screens found in books, desk consoles, and viewing theaters. By the way, this is like on the other side in like the library, if you will, what he's referencing. Although these space-time training exercises do not change the course of the original historical events on Earth, there may be other forces at work here. I concede the possibility that my subject's memories could demonstrate that they are moving through parallel universes, which might nearly duplicate our own space-time. Yet in spiritual classrooms and libraries, they do not see past events on Earth as being outside the reality of our universe. I do have the feeling that what a soul from Earth is able to see and explain to me is regulated by the resonances of their personal guides. When they reach the life selection room with larger theater-type screens to look solely at the future, their perspective about a constant reality changes more to a fluctuating reality. Events on any screen can be moved forward or backward. They can be placed into fast or slow motion or suspended for study. All possibilities of occurrences involving the viewer are then available for study, as if they were using a movie projector. One can sense from a case 30 that a past event on our physical world has not been indelibly changed for this individual, even though his soul is existing in the eternal now time of the spirit world. Some would call these projections no time for souls, because the past can be blended with future possibilities in the next life from an always present spirit time. Case 30. This case involves a soul called Unther, who just completed a life of aggressive behavior toward other people. His mentors decided to begin Arthur Unther's life review in the library with a scene from his childhood in a play yard. Starts out with the doctor asking a question. When you return to the spirit world, Unther, is there some highlight of your past life review that you particularly remember and would like to tell me about? After I have time to visit with my group for a while with my guide, Photonius, escorts me to the library for some private study while my past life is still very fresh. Is this the only time you will come here? Oh no, we often come here by ourselves to study. It is also a way to prepare for the next life too. I will study vocations and avocations for the new life in light of my objectives to see if they fit. All right, let's move into the library. Please describe everything you see in the order that you see it. The room is in a large rectangular building. Everything is a glowing, transparent white. The walls are lined with big, thick books. Has Photonius brought you here? Just in the beginning. Now I am with a woman with pure white hair who has met me. Her face is very reassuring. The first thing I notice when I enter are the long rows of tables that stretch off so far into the distance that I can't see where they end. I see many people sitting at the long tables looking at the books in front of them. The people studying are not too close to one another. Why is that? Oh, not facing each other is a matter of courtesy and respect for privacy. Please go on. My librarian looks so scholarly. We call these people the scholastics. To others, they are the archivist. She moved to a nearby wall selection and pulls down a book. I know these are my records. They contain stories which have been told and those that are untold. Do you have your library card? With some levity. Laughs. No cards are required, just mental attunement. Do you have more than one life book assigned to you? Yes, and this is the one I will use today. The books are stacked in order on the shelves. I know where mine are, and they glow when I look at them from a distance. Could you go into the stacks yourself? No, but I think the older ones do. So at this moment, the librarian has brought you to the book you are supposed to study? Yes, there are large pedestals positioned near the tables. The scholastic opens the page where I am to begin. Note, we are now at the stage where each case takes on a unique quality of personal engagement with the life book's screen. The conscious mind may or may not be able to translate into human language what the superconscious mind fully sees in the library. Back to questioning. Then she is getting you started at the pedestal before you take this book to a table by yourself? Yes, I am looking at a page with writing, gold lettering. Can you read this writing for me? No, I can't translate it now, but it identifies that it is my book. Can't you make out even one word? Look closely. I see the Greek pi symbol. Is this symbolic of a letter in the Greek alphabet, or does it have a mathematical significance for you? I think it has to do with ratios, how one thing relates to another to me. The writing is a language of motion and emotion. You feel the writing as musical vibrations. These symbols represent the cause and effect of a set of proportional relationships between similar and dissimilar circumstances in my lives. There is more, but I can't. And then stops. Thank you for that. Now tell me what you are going to do with this book. Before I carry it down to an empty space at one of the tables, we are going to do an exercise together. The writing symbols tell us where to turn the pages, but I can't tell you how. I don't know how to explain it. Don't worry about that. You're doing a fine job with explanations. Just tell me how the librarian helps you. Takes a deep breath. We turn a page which shows me as a child playing in my schoolyard. Subject now begins to shake. This isn't going to be fun. I'm directed to the time when I was a mean, rotten kid. I am supposed to experience this again. Something they want me to see, a part of my energy, crawls into the page itself. Encouraging, the doctor says, "All right, let the scene unfold and tell me all you can." Squirming in his chair. After I crawl into the book, I am totally engaged with the scene in every respect, as if it was being replayed all over again. I'm in grade school. I am a tough kid who picks on the smaller, less aggressive boys, punching them and throwing rocks at everybody when the schoolyard monitors aren't looking. And then, oh no, what's happening? Alarmed. Oh, for God's sake, now I am the smallest kid in the yard and I am being punched by me. This is incredible. After a while, I am me again, being pelted by rocks from everyone else. Ow, this really hurts. Dr. N. After quieting the subject down and moving him totally back into the library, were you in the same time frame as you were as a child or in a form of an altered reality? In the same time with altered reality. None of this happened in my early life, but it should have. So the time has been played back to me in a different way. We can relive an event to see if we can get it better. I felt the pain I inflicted upon others by my bullying. Unther, what have you learned from all this? That I was an angry kid driven by fear of my dad. Those are the scenes I'm going to do next. I am working on compassion and learning to control my rebellious nature as a soul. What is the significance of your life book and being in this whole library atmosphere? By studying my book, I am able to recognize mistakes and experience alternatives. Being in this quiet study, watching all the other souls at the tables doing the same thing. Well, it gives me a feeling of camaraderie with them and all we are all going through together. That's the end of the questioning, and he goes on to just talk a little bit about it. Later in our session, we discovered that Unther needed self-discipline and to be more considerate of people. This has been a pattern of conduct over many lives. When I asked if it was possible to study future lives in the library, I received this answer. Yes, we can scan a variety of possibilities here on the timelines, but future events are very indeterminate, and this is not the space where I would make any decisions about what is to come. When I hear statements such as this, I don't think of parallel universes where all possibilities and probabilities can be examined. In this scenario, the same event could occur from a slight to radically altered range on the same timeline in multiple spaces as you would exist in many universes simultaneously. Yet, the source of all space-time might well employ alternate realities without parallel universes. In later chapters, I will cite reports of multiple universes around us which are not duplicates of our universe. In the spirit world, souls watching the orchestrated screens seem to move from past to present to future and back simultaneously in the same space. When souls are in the library, I'm told certain event sequences of the future may look shadowy on some lines and almost disappear. On the other hand, in the classrooms with larger screens, and especially in the place of life selection, which has a huge panel screens, the timelines are bolder. This allows for easier scanning and entry by the soul for future life study. Newer souls must acquire these skills by learning to blend their light waves with the lines of the screens. By concentrating their essence in this way, images come into focus that pertain to them. The timelines on the screens move back and forth, crossing one another as resonating waves of probability and possibility from the now time of the spirit world and where past and future are joined and all is knowable. Cases 29 and 30, and 29 is the one we read last time, as with all my cases, raise the question of what true reality is. Are classrooms in the library with viewing screens of past and future times real? Everything I know about our life after death is based upon the observations of people. The observer communicates to me in a trance from their soul mind through the brain. It is the observer who defines the properties of matter and ethereal substance both on earth and in the spirit world. Consider this last case. Unther told me he cannot change his past by a second time around visitation. Yet after death, he returned to the playground of his childhood as an active participant. Once again, he was a boy playing with other children, with all the sights, sounds, smells, and feelings connected to that event. Some of my clients say these are simulated events, but are they? Unther became part of the scene where he bullied children and then he was attacked by them. He could feel the hurt and squirmed in my office chair from pain he had not received in the timelines of this boyhood. Who is to say an altered reality does not simultaneously exist for all events, where both origins and outcomes are interchangeable? The observer soul may work with many realities at a time in the spirit world while studying. All are placed in the soul's path to teach. We question whether our universe is all an illusion. If eternal thoughts of the soul are represented by intelligent light energy that is timeless and formless, it is not restricted by matter in our universe. Thus, if a cosmic consciousness controls where what the observer mind sees on Earth, the whole concept of cause and effect within given time intervals is a manipulated illusion designed to train us. Even if we believe that everything we think is real is an illusion, life is anything but meaningless. We know if we hold a rock in our hand, it is as real to us as an observer participant in a physical world. We must also keep in mind that a divine intelligence placed us in this environment to learn and grow for the greater good. None of us are here by accident, and neither are those events which affect us in our own reality at this moment in time. All right. That is the end of this particular segment. And yeah, really fascinating to like go and, you know, it's something that I've heard about a lot is like hearing and that we will sort of see and experience from the angle of those extensions of ourself, essentially, that we inflicted, whether good or bad, you know, if there was such a thing as good and bad, you know what I mean? Experiencing the flip side of how we behaved. And I think that is another very selfish motivated way to delve out goodness, right? If it's all coming back to you and you're going to feel it, you might as well set up good feelings for your future self when you're, you know, playing those roles and having those experiences in the reviewing the great books and seeing all the alternate timelines or simulations, if that's indeed what it is. All right. Well, this has been amazing to explore with you today, and continuing to remember, if I react, I repeat. And let's just get on with getting it as right as we possibly can, shall we? In the meantime, I have, while you're doing that, I have something for you to listen to that's pretty nice. I like this song a lot. It's Shaman's Dream in Pirangi, and the song is called Nefes, N-E-F-E-S. Hope you guys enjoy it. Until next time, journey well. Also, before we cue up today's song, as a quick reminder, don't forget to download the Golden Key audio or ebook as my free gift to you at goldenkey.gift using the Golden Key code POSITIVEHEAD. And please, if you enjoy my gift, leave a positive review on Amazon so others can unlock their lives with the help of the Golden Key as well.